Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, good morning. I don't know if you guys heard or not, but Amplify's back. I don't know how that lined up like that, but we wanted to make sure that you knew. For those of you who are with us for the first time, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we are really excited to be able to be together today. Today's a really special Sunday for us. Before we dive into that, I just want to talk to you about one thing really quickly, because for the last couple of weeks, we have been walking through something really, really powerful here at Hoboken Grace, and we've been looking at this conversation, this question of purpose. What am I here for? And for a lot of you, over the past couple of weeks, God's been doing some really powerful things in your life. And next week, as we come together, we're going to come together and celebrate all that God's been doing, all that God's made possible over the last 6 weeks as we've been looking at this question of purpose. But we need your help to do that. So here's what I want to invite you to do. If God has done something in your life for the last 6 weeks as you've been tackling this, maybe you've taken a step in your journey, maybe you've begun to see God a little bit differently, maybe you've begun to see your life a little bit differently. One of the things that we've done is that on the north corner here, just outside these doors over here in the hallway, we've set up a camera. And what we want to do is we want to record one line from you of what God has been doing in your life for the last 6 weeks. It doesn't have to be a long thing. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be a complicated thing. We just want one line from you of what God has been doing in your life to be able to help us celebrate next week. So as we walk through this morning, if you can just think of one line that you could share with our family. One of the things that we talked about last week is the importance of sharing our story and the power of our story and what God's doing in your life. God's not just doing that for you. He's doing it to be able to impact the world around you. And so I just want to invite you, after the service is over, to make your way to that corner. And just really quickly, they're going to be able to set up there. And we'll take you maybe 5 seconds. You'll be able to stand in front of the camera and just say, this is my one line. And then we'll be able to celebrate next week. Also, I want to talk to those of you who, over the last 6 weeks, have stepped into a relationship with God for the first time. And for some of you, as we've been talking through this and talking about embracing God's love, for some of you, for the very first time in your life, you've embraced that. For the very first time, you've stepped into that relationship. And what we want to invite you into is next week, as we celebrate, we're going to be celebrating with baptisms. And baptism is a physical symbol of what God's done in our lives spiritually. And for some of you, that's your next step. Because our first step after we place our faith in Christ is that step of baptism. And I want to invite you, if you haven't taken that step yet, to take that step with us next week as we celebrate. If you're interested in that, or if you're like, I'm not sure, I need more information about that, if you go to that check-in form, you can see it. There, one of the boxes on that check-in form that you have on your app there is, I'd like to take the step of baptism. Just check that, and they'll actually follow up with you by the end of the day today and begin that conversation and be able to let you know, okay, what is this about? And then how do you take that step with us as we celebrate next week? But before we get to that celebration, we have something really exciting to celebrate today. Every year, we set aside one day of the year to be able to celebrate our newest additions to our family, to be able to celebrate the littlest ones who are part of our family. It's called Child Dedication Sunday. And as you walk in today, that's what you have walked into. And in a little while, what we're going to do is we're going to bring on stage the families who are going to be dedicating their little ones to God today. But before I do that, what I want to do is I want to be able to talk you through the commitment that they're going to be making, because I think it's something that all of us need to engage with. And I want for you to be able to understand why it is that we ask them to make this commitment, why we ask them to take this step. As they come on stage today, we're going to be asking them to make three commitments to God and before us. I want to walk you through each of these commitments. The first commitment that we're going to ask them to make is this. Do you commit to raise your child as God's, understanding that they're a special gift that you've been given and not yours? Do you commit as a family, do you commit as parents to be able to interact with this child, not as yours, but as his? That God loves your child more than you do, that God knows your child better than you do, that God has a better plan for your child than you do. And as parents, this is phenomenally difficult. Phenomenally difficult, because we have great plans for our kids. Some of you don't have kids yet, and you already have plans for your kids. Some of you aren't even married yet, and you have plans for your kids and what they're going to do and what they're going to become and what they're going to accomplish and how they're going to follow in your footsteps and how they're going to go to the school that you went to, and it's going to be amazing. And we develop all of these plans for our children. And God says, no, wait. This isn't about your plan for their life. This is about my plan for their life. And it's amazing how this commitment specifically ties in directly to what we've been talking about. You look at this passage that we've been coming back to over and over again in Ephesians 2. It says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." And this commitment really is calling back to this same passage and this idea that that our little ones are his handiwork. Our little ones, he's the one who designed them. He's the one who created them. And to be able to help them to step into that, to be able to help them to be able to figure out what it is that we've been walking through for the past 6 weeks. God has a specific plan for them. And so how do I help my child discover? How do I help my child step into this? And as we've been walking through the past couple of weeks, I've been overwhelmed by how important this is. Listen. It's really interesting what's happening inside of our culture right now. Because as you look at the generations and the way that they engage life, there's been a drastic shift over the past 18 years or so. Because when you look at the different generations and how they look at life, how they think about life, you look at the millennials, and it's really interesting because the millennials came on the scene and the millennials stepped in and said, "We are the greatest thing that ever happened to the earth." A lot of us are millennials. We understand, like, it's just true. Like, we really were the best thing that ever happened to the earth. But then, as is often the case with generations, there's usually a pendulum swing. And it's really interesting because as individuals study the millennial generation, it's incredibly positive, very, very hopeful, very excited about the future and what it was going to bring. But then after 9/11, there was a shift. And the pendulum swung the other direction. And those who study the generation that's growing up now will tell you that this generation is the most hopeless and the most anxious generation that maybe have ever lived. That definitely they've ever studied. Just the other day, I don't know if you saw it on the news, there's a 10-year-old girl who committed suicide. How do you commit suicide at 10 years old? But there's been a shift. And I see it even in my children's school and even in my children's lives. There's this anxiety because you have a generation that stepped into a world that all of a sudden was very different than what it was before after 9/11. And they live in a world where the media is constantly chasing headlines, and so everything is hyped, and every negative thing that you could possibly imagine is in front of you all the time. And on top of that, they've been given devices that allow them to experience and see that every day, all day. And they don't know what to do with that. And they weren't equipped and prepared to step into that. Some of you know this because this is your story. And the pendulum has swung. It's shifted. And our little ones need this more than ever before. To know that, no, you were created on purpose for a purpose, and that God has a plan for you and everything that we've been walking through. And if you haven't been with us for the past 6 weeks, I just want to encourage you, you can go back and watch and engage those messages online. It's really powerful what God's been saying to us. But as we make this commitment today, this is so important for them to know that, no, you are created as part of a plan, and this is not hopeless, and that God, there are things that God intended for you to do before this entire thing started. And help them to step into that. And to help them to understand that their life is a part of something incredible. It's a part of something so big. And I think as parents, one of the mistakes that we make is that oftentimes we like to help our kids understand how they fit into our story. And we're constantly trying to shape our kids to understand how they fit into our story. No, this is who you need to be because this is what I planned for you to be in my story. And it's interesting because just as God says, no, I have things that I prepared for you. That's what, as parents, oftentimes we say to them, but it's not what God has prepared for them. It's what we have prepared for them. And God says, no. It's much bigger than that. You see, our kids know what we talked about in week one of this past series. Our kids know that our story isn't that significant if it's just about our story. And if as parents we try to bring them up and how they were prepared to be a part of our story, there's going to be a day where they're going to say, I don't want your story. And God says, no, they were created for something much bigger than that. You were created for something much bigger than that. And the commitment that they're making is that, no, I'm going to help them to discover that. I'm going to help them discover this unbelievable truth that God is for them, that God's fighting for them. Listen to what God says to Jeremiah. And he's talking to Jeremiah about this in his life and as he's engaging the nation of Israel. Listen to what he says. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And God, throughout his pursuit of us, has said this to so many different people in so many different places. And he just keeps coming back to this. We looked at this in Romans chapter 8, where he says, no, everything in your life I'm going to use for good. And you just see it over and over and over and over and over again, because God's trying to help us to understand, no, you can trust me. You can trust me. And as parents, the commitment that they're making today is as they raise these little ones, to help them to understand, like, no, you can trust him. You can trust him. And he's going to use everything in your life. He's going to redeem everything in your life. Because he has good in store for you. We're going to raise these little ones as his, knowing that he loves them more than we do. He knows them better than we do, and he has a better plan for them than we do. The second commitment is this: do you commit to teaching and training your child to depend on him by putting your relationship with God first? As parents, one of the things that we learn very early on is that our kids don't learn by what we tell them, but by what we show them. And the reality is that in life, priority isn't taught, it's demonstrated. And so the commitment that these parents are making is to say, no, I'm going to communicate priority by the way in which I live my life. I love, we actually had a blog post a while back where a new parent was talking about this, and they had stepped into being a parent for the very first time, and they served here at Hoboken Grace, and they were trying to work through, okay, am I going to continue to serve, and what is that going to look like now that I'm a parent? And it was unbelievable to hear the quote from this individual who serves, because they said, the thing that I want most is to make sure that my child sees me, that my child grows up seeing me prioritize serving God. And one of the most powerful ways that we communicate the priority of God is by the priority that he has in our lives. One of the things that's been really exciting for me recently is that over the course of the past 5 or 6 months, my oldest has actually joined one of the teams here at Hoboken Grace, and every Sunday morning, he gets up at about 6:15 or so to be able to come here and to be able to help set up this space. It's not easy for me in any way, shape, or form to get him out of bed at 6:15 on a Sunday morning. He's a 10-year-old boy. He wants nothing to do with that at 6:15. At 7:15, he's really excited about it. But one of the things that's been really cool about this experience is not just what it's meant for him, but what it's meant for his younger brothers. And the other day, his youngest brother was having a conversation with me, and he said, when do I get to start going in on Sunday morning? Because the priority was being taught by his brother. And as parents, our kids are constantly watching us and asking, okay, what's really important? What's really important? And they're watching. What do you spend your time on? And where do your talents go? What are they being used for? What is it that you invest in? They're constantly watching. And it matters very little what we say. What matters is, what is it that we're demonstrating? And so we're making a commitment to say, no, we're going to put our relationship with God first. We're going to put our marriage second. When you look at these passages in Ephesians, in Ephesians 5, it talks about how in our relationships with one another, we actually demonstrate our relationships are a picture, they're an illustration of what love looks like and God's love for us. And one of the most important things in a child's life is learning how to love. And they do that by watching the way their parents love one another. And so the commitment that they're making is to say, no, I'm going to value that. I'm going to value my marriage. And then number three, to put your child third. Now notice, this is third, not last. Sometimes people ask me, as we come out of this, they're like, why do you put your child last? No, it's not that your child's last. Your child is third, which is still ahead of your career, which is still ahead of your comfort. It's ahead of a lot of things in our lives. But we understand that, there needs to be priority that's taught in this. And we need for them to understand how important God is. We need for them to understand what love looks like and what it means to be committed to someone and to engage with someone and love someone the way that Jesus has loved us. And then the third commitment is this. Do you commit to creating a safe place for your child to meet Christ by being humble and growing in Christ yourselves, by welcoming rebuke when you are wrong, and by being the same people in public that you are at home? It's interesting. Studies show that kids do better with consistently bad parents than with inconsistent parents. Because one of the things that's really important to a child is to know what to expect. And when a child walks into a home and has no idea what to expect, because one day it's one way and the next day it's another, that destroys a child's ability to be able to grow and to develop. And the commitment that they're making here is to say, no, I'm going to be the same no matter where I am, and I'm going to be welcome. I'm going to welcome instruction. I want to grow. It's that idea that we talked about a couple weeks ago, that I embrace growth. I understand I don't have to be there tomorrow, but I'm going to embrace growth. I'm going to embrace correction in my life. And okay, how do I continue to take steps forward as a parent? How do I continue to grow? And they're making the commitment to step into that. And then after these families make these three commitments, we're going to make a commitment back to them. And so I'm actually going to ask you to make a commitment to them today. Now, some of you are here for the first time. You're like, I don't know if I'm going to. I'll walk you through it, and then you can figure out whether or not this is something that you can step into with us, because all of you are invited into this commitment with us. So after they make those three commitments, I'm going to ask us to make a commitment back to them. That commitment is this: Hoboken Grace commits to create a safe church family by joining together to fight gossip and broken relationships in our church family. The reality of this is this. Sometimes people think the way that we're going to help people, and sometimes some of you may even think this about the church. You think, okay, if the church is going to represent Jesus well, then the church is going to be perfect. Wrong. When you read through the scriptures, there's no stories of perfect people. Why? Because that's not the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus isn't about perfect people. There's only one in the entire story, and that's Jesus. Jesus' message is literally, I'm the only one. So don't expect for you to be that one. And the message of Jesus is communicated best, not by perfection. The message of Jesus is communicated best in forgiveness and grace. And the understanding that there's going to be broken relationships, but we're going to work for forgiveness. We're going to fight for forgiveness. And we're going to fight against gossip. One of the things that will destroy our church faster than anything else is gossip. Some of you know it because you grew up in churches where this is what the church was all about, which is why you walked away from church and you haven't walked back into a church until today. And as a church, we have to take this seriously. That if we have something against someone, we have to go talk to them. And so we're going to fight against gossip and broken relationships. We're going to admonish each other when we're wrong. It's not just that these parents are going to welcome correction, but as a church, we're going to welcome correction, because as a church, sometimes we're going to be wrong. And I'm going to have to stand up here and I'm going to have to say, no, we were wrong. And we're going to have to apologize. We understand it's not just that people are broken. We are people. We're going to be broken as well. And then lastly, by showing the authentic love that Christ has for each of these children. It's not just that the families have been called to love these little ones. We've been called to love these little ones. And so we say to the family, like, you're not alone in this. We're in this with you. I'm going to ask these families to make those three commitments before us, and then I'm going to ask you to make this commitment back to them. But I want to give you a chance to be able to meet these little ones as they make their way on stage. So check this out.